Many in here are teaching next quarter.
Several.
Of course, the main purpose that this class was started was to study the material that is going to be taught in most of the classes. The next quarter gives new members the opportunity to study the Bible in a consistent manner, and also for those who may need a refresher on certain subjects. So appreciate you being here. I'll do my best to do what I can to my small way to help us to study together. For those of you who are teaching, as always, we need to let the Scriptures be the main focus of our lesson. Aids are a good thing to use to reinforce the story, but they should never be overdone and should never let the aid become the main focus of the lesson. In other words, our children don't need to leave remembering the aid but not remembering the lesson. So keep that in mind as we study together. There are a lot of things in the book of Acts. There are lists of memorization. There are maps that can be studied. There are a lot of stories that appeal to the younger children. Biblical principles set forth. There are commands and examples and their inference. A lot of the things that we do in the church today are established in the book of Acts. There's a lot of application that can be applied as we study together. And as we teach these stories and these lessons. In the previous quarters, I think this class spent two quarters studying the life of Christ, starting with what? The angel appearing to Zacharias and announcing the birth of John the Baptist. This is an interactive class, by the way. So the angel appearing to Zacharias, announcing the birth of John the Baptist, and ending with Jesus giving his charge to the apostles, his disciples, to do what? Go and evangelize. And that's what the book of Acts is all about, is the establishment and the growth of the church and the works of some of the apostles. As we take up our study this morning, as I said, the story is the history of the first century church, the work of the apostles. But it's also a bridge that joins the Gospels to the rest of the New Testament. In this quarter, we begin in Acts chapter 1 with the ascension of Jesus, and we will end in chapter 18, about verse 22, with Paul's return from his second missionary journey, going back to Antioch before he third. During this time, Paul wrote the two letters to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and toward the end of the quarter, we'll take some time to do a summary of those two books as well. The author of Acts is not named. However, there are some conclusions that we can come to. Turn to Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 11. We have what we term as the we chapters. The writer of the book of Acts joins with Paul as a companion with Paul in his journeys. In chapter 16, beginning of verse 11, therefore loosing from Troas, what? We came. Look over at chapter 20, beginning with verse 5. Look at verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode with them 7 days. Look at chapter 21, beginning with verse 1 going through verse 18. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched. So over and over we see references at times where the author of Acts was a companion of Paul. Look over at chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. I think this is key and paramount. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Well, why were they delivering Paul and other prisoners to Julius? Paul was headed where? Headed to Rome, where he was imprisoned for 2 years. So, the author was a companion of Paul, but not only a companion of Paul, he was also with Paul on his trip to Rome, where Paul was imprisoned. So, we call those the we chapters. Now, Luke, we know, was a companion of Paul. And we know that not only was he a companion of Paul, but he was with Paul when Paul was in prison. the prison epistles, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul gives Luke, the beloved physician, as one of the ones who was with him. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, only Luke is with me. And in Philemon chapter 24, he mentions Lucas. So Luke, the physician, the one who wrote the Gospel of Luke, was a companion of Paul during his time in prison. Then we have the references to Theophilus. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke starts his letter, the Gospel of Luke, talking about the fact that he had determined that being familiar with the life of Christ, that he would write this Gospel of Luke, and he referenced it to Theophilus. Then Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, the former treaties have I made, O who? Theophilus. So I think we can safely conclude, even though the author of Acts is not mentioned, from the fact that Luke was a companion of Paul, he was a companion with Paul while he was in prison, and the fact that he refers to Theophilus, and in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, he refers back to the former treatise, which would be the Gospel of Luke. So I think we can safely say that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. Time of writing, before the end of Paul's imprisonment in Rome, and also before Nero's persecution began, which would have been in AD 64. So we began with the establishment of the church around AD 30 to AD 36, and go to about 30 to 34 years when Paul was in prison around AD 62 to AD 64. We'll stop this quarter around AD 1. Which AD 52, which is about the time that Paul finished his second journey. Okay. Two main personalities in the book. Chapters 1 through 11 deal mainly with the works of the apostle who? Apostle Peter. And then beginning in chapter 13 and going through the end of the book, the main person that we have is the apostle Paul. So we divide the book into two sections. The works of Peter, the works of Paul. Now, some people would divide it into three sections based on the progression of the gospel. Some people divide it into four. It really doesn't matter how you divide it, but for our purposes, we'll divide it into the works of Peter and works of Paul. Peter and the other apostles' message to the Jews, look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Kill the Prince of Life, and he's talking to the Jews, whom God had raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. Look over at chapter 3 and verse 30. Chapter 3 and verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you what? Blew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath exalted to his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins, and we are his witnesses. So, you killed him. God raised him up. We are witnesses. Look at chapter 10 and verse 39. What's chapter 10 about? Conversion of Cornelius. And Peter, as he's teaching Cornelius and his household, said, we are witness of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom, who? They slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the other day, the third day, and showed him openly. So Peter and the apostles' message to the Jews was, you killed him, God raised him up, and we are witnesses of that. Paul's message, on the other hand, was to what people? The Gentiles. And Paul's message to the Gentiles created great opposition among the Jews as they sought to kill Paul. So that determined really for Paul a lot of things in the fact that he went to Rome. As I said, the book covers about 30 to 34 years in which the gospel was spread throughout the known world. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1, 23. Brent, will you read that when you... It was proclaimed to all creation, every creature under heaven, the King James says. This was a great undertaking. You think about the difficulties that they had in travel. Paul was shipwrecked 3 times. The fact that they had to travel by boat and they had to depend on the weather and winter in certain places. Think about all the difficulties. Think about the oppositions that they faced from the Jews and from other people. It was a great undertaking, but they did it anyway. Jesus had given, before he died, the apostles a charge. Back in Matthew chapter 28, we're all familiar with that. Beginning with verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So Jesus had given the apostles a charge, the Great Commission. Does that charge still apply to us today? It does. The problem with the world is what? Sin. And the answer is still the same thing way today as it was then. The answer is Christ. And we have the charge to teach. And Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, had given Peter the keys to the kingdom. He said, I'll give upon the confession that Peter had made that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He said, Blessed are thou, verse 17, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Who preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2? Peter did. The end of that chapter in verse 38, when they were pricked in their hearts, who told them what they were to do to be able to enter the kingdom and have their sins removed? Peter did. So time and time and time again, we see the keys indeed being given to Peter. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 32, when Simon the sorcerer sinned by wanting to purchase for money the ability to lay his hands on people and impart the Holy Ghost, Peter told him to do what? Bent and pray to God that the thoughts of your heart would be forgiven you. So Peter himself announced the way for repentance. So Jesus had given Peter the keys to the kingdom. He opened the doors to the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10, and opened the doors to the keys of this kingdom. In this kingdom is found all the culmination of all that God had planned from the beginning of time was right. The world was under one rule. There was a common language. The Old Testament had been translated into the Greek. There were no international borders to cross. The land was at peace. So this is the time that God had chosen. Satan introduced sin in the world by deceiving Eve and her and Adam taking of the forbidden fruit. And God had planned from the beginning. We know that. Genesis 3:15, that the seed of woman would do what? Bruise the head of Satan. And this came to pass, of course, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God had planned this from the beginning. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. We know these things. This is not anything new to us. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Greg, read that. Okay. In hope of eternal life. When did God promise it? Before the world began. From the beginning, God had the plan for man's salvation through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through this period of time, as God was planning this and leading up to this time, he dealt with man in different ways. In the patriarchs, he dealt with who? Head of the family, Abraham. And then we come to the time of the Jews, which was God dealt with a nation. This was a first written law. And now we come to the last days, and it's in the last days the time has come to unveil the conclusion of God's plan. And all the plans that God had planned are finalized in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preaches the first sermon and the first converts and the establishment of the church. You know, the Old Testament is filled with promises and prophecies. 3:15 is a prophecy of coming to Christ. Genesis chapter 12 is a promises to who? Promises to Abraham. Genesis 49 says that that seed would come through the tribe of Judah. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promises that seed would come through whose family? Family of David. The prophecies in Isaiah of Christ, His coming, His suffering, His rejection. Job chapter 19 and verse 25, Job said, I know my Lord will in the latter days stand upon the earth. So the Old Testament is full of prophecies and promises, and they're promises of the church. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. What was that dream about? About a statue, about the nations, okay? And in the latter days, there would come a nation that would never be, a kingdom that would never be destroyed. And that kingdom is church. Okay. So Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had a dream. Isaiah chapter 2, look at Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 2 and reading through verse 4. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall come and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall come forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What's the mountain of the Lord there? Church. So we have the prophecies, we have the promises given, and it's through Christ that God had planned the gospel would be preached. It's the mystery. Mystery that had been hid. It was in God's mind, God's plan. No one knew what that mystery was. No one understood it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians there, he said, beginning in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of these princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. For God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. Now look at over at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the what? Mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the what? Church, the manifold wisdom of God. So it was in the mind of God, God revealed it, and now it is the responsibility of the church to make known God's word, to make known God's plan for salvation. And that falls upon us today. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus, before He ascended, gave the progression of the gospel. He said to His apostles, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So, we know the gospel began in Jerusalem, and then progressed up to Samaria, then into Galilee, and Asia, and Cyprus, and Antioch, and then as Paul begins his journeys to the rest of the world. So the progression that Jesus gave of the spread of the gospel, Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 in Jerusalem. Look at chapter 8. What does verse 4 say? Andy, read that. And verse 5 says, Philip went where? Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, people were scattered abroad. In verse 5, Philip went down to Samaria. So, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And then look over at chapter 11 and verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen did what? Traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching to the Jews only. Then Paul comes along with the three missionary journeys and goes on into the rest of the world. You know, there are a lot of themes in the book of Acts that we could talk about. I'm going to talk about some of those this morning. And this list is not exhaustive. There are a lot of other things that we could talk about and will as we study and as time allows. In Acts chapter 1, the first theme that we have is the ascension of Jesus, verse 6 through 11. Jesus was with the apostles after his erection for a period of about what? About 40 days. And during that time, he appeared to the apostles. He appeared to about 500 people at one time. And all of these were witnesses of his resurrection. In chapter 1, he ascended back to the Father where he sits on the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 talks about that. The overriding theme of the book of Acts is the establishment of the church, as we've talked about. Christ came to earth. He lived among men. He was rejected. He was healed and crucified. He was resurrected. He ascended into heaven. But without the establishment of the church, what would that have accomplished? This is an interactive class. What would it have accomplished without the establishment of the church? Little or nothing. Okay? So, the establishment of the church was the next thing in God's plan. It would have had no meaning if the church had not been established. So, the establishment of the church is the overriding theme, but also, there's the work of the Holy Spirit in confirming and revealing the Word. The baptism of the Spirit. What two instances do we have in the book of Acts of baptism of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not talking about laying on hands of the apostles, but actual baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are two instances. One is in Acts chapter 2 when it came on the apostles and they spoke in tongues. Now, this wasn't some unknown gibbledygook that nobody could understand. This was actual languages that people understood. The other instance was when? Acts chapter 10, the conversion of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues. And if you remember, Peter said, who can forbid water that these be baptized whom the Holy Spirit has come on just as us at the first? That's the only two instances of baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 17. Jesus said there, after he gave the Great Commission, he that believeth, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do we see that happen in the book of Acts? Yes, time after time after time. Acts chapter 3, Peter healed a what? Healed a lame man. Acts chapter 8, they cast out demons. Acts chapter 9, Peter heals Aeneas of palsy. And on and on and on and on. Acts chapter 9 and verse 40, Peter raised Dorcas, Tabitha. Acts chapter 20, Paul raised Eutychus. What happened in Acts chapter 20? Paul had come to Troas. He waited till the first of the week so he could worship with them. He preached to them till midnight. What did Eutychus do? Sitting in the window, fell out the window, it killed him, and Paul raised him from the dead. So this is all work of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 28, Paul was bitten by a viper. He shook it off in the fire. It didn't harm him. All of these, what was the purpose of these miracles? What was the purpose of healing people, casting out demons, raising people from the dead? What was the purpose? Confirm the Word. Confirm that it was from God. Confirm that it was true, which led to the conversion of multitudes of people. And the book of Acts is a book of conversions. That's another thing. 3,000 on Pentecost. Acts chapter 4, that group had risen to about 4,000. Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans, also Simon the sorcerer. End of chapter 8, we have the conversion of who? Ethiopian eunuch. Lydia, Acts chapter 16. Also in Acts chapter 16, the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household. So it's a book of conversions, all the people that Paul converted in his travels, on his journeys. So it's definitely a book of conversions. We have the progression and the growth of the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. The word of the Lord increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Chapter 11, verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 24. But the Lord, word of the Lord grew and multiplied. Chapter 16 and verse 5. So were the churches established in faith and increased in number greatly. Chapter 19 and verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the church was growing, the progression of the gospel, people were believing. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, at Antioch, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Just simply Christians, followers of Christ, nothing more, nothing less. And that was a term that was understood in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28 when Paul was talking to Agrippa. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a what? Be a Christian. So he understood the term and what the term was. Another theme that we run across in the book of Acts is the Jewish persecution against the church. In Acts chapter 2, they were mocking the apostles on the day of Pentecost and said, these are what? They're drunk. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees didn't like what the apostles were preaching. So they threatened them first of all, then they arrested them, then they beat them and said, don't preach anymore in his name. Which didn't stop them. But so we have that persecution. Acts chapter 7, we have what? Stoning of Stephen. And stoning him to death. And we could go on and on with that. Acts chapter 9, Jews took counsel to kill Paul. At one point, Acts chapter 14, they stoned him, left him for dead. Chapter 23, they bound themselves under an oath. They weren't going to eat until they'd killed him. So we have that. And then we have the Judaizers, who taught what? Yeah, you basically got to be a proselyte. You got to be a Jew and obey the law before you can be a Christian. Basically, circumcision. They started down in Jerusalem, worked their way up through Asia Minor, and even up to Rome, because one of the things of Romans is what? Dealing with the law. The book of Galatians also deals with that. So Judaizers were something that they had to deal with as they were going around and trying to strengthen the brethren. Another theme is the organization and the work of the church. We have set forth for us in the book of Acts most of what we do, or a lot of what we do, as a church. The governmanship of the elders. Acts chapter 14, verse 23, they established elders in every church. Acts chapter 20, Paul called the Ephesian elders to Troas, and he talked to them. So we have the government of the church established. Acts chapter 11, they sent relief to the elders at Judea. We also have worship on the first day of the week. We can pretty much say the church was established on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20, they met together on the first day of the week to break bread. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After the church had been established, after the 3,000 had been baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in what? Breaking of bread and prayer. So we have set for us an example where Christians met together to break bread, the Lord's Supper, and to pray. Now later on we have them meeting from house to house and eating their food with gladness, but the breaking of bread is coming together, the Lord's Supper and in prayer. And look over at Acts chapter 20. Passage is familiar to all of us. We talked about it a minute ago. They met together on the first day of the week to break bread. Paul preached to them. So we have the breaking of bread again, the observance of the Lord's Supper. We have that at Tyre, Acts chapter 21. And we have teaching and preaching going on, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 20. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we have the collection of the saints, and that collection was for what purpose? Why were they collecting money? To be able to, that's right, the people in Judea were in need, so they were collecting money to be able to give to those needy saints to help them. So even though this command is given in Corinthians, it was determined back in where? Acts. So we have prayer, we have observance of the Lord's Supper, we have the giving of our means, we have teaching, we have preaching that's laid down for us in the first century church that we do today because of commands and because of examples. So worship on the first day of the week is one of the themes that's set forth in the book of Acts. And there are a lot of other themes that we could talk about. This is not exhaustive. There are other things contained in the book that we could study, and we will as we come to them and as time permits. Look at the close of the book, Acts chapter 28. It begins with the ascension of Jesus into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. And it ends chapter 28 in verse 30 and verse 31 with Paul doing what? Okay, in prison, in Rome, in his own house, preaching and teaching all those who would come to him. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. But we'll end our study in Acts chapter 18, beginning, ending, about verse 22. Paul is returning from his second missionary journey. And verse 22, when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Why would he have went to Antioch? Where he was sent out from, okay? And that's where he returned. Just if we sent out someone today, when they came back, they would come and they'd give us a report. When Paul returned, he went to Antioch because that's where he was, that's where he worked from, and that's the people who had sent him out on his way. Now, this has been kind of an introduction. Book of Acts, again, is a story of the work of some of the apostles, not all of the apostles, in the history of the first century church. It's a book of conversions, a book of spreading the gospel. It outlines the establishment, the work, the organization of the church. Themes are many. There's much to be gained by study of it. Anybody got any comments or any questions or anything? Awful quiet this morning. I said this is an interactive class. Greg Steele will be helping the first month, and then Gary, I think you're going to take over and help after that. And we'll do our best in our efforts in some small way help us to better understand the class, and hopefully we can learn.
Yes.
Yeah, that should be the dividing point. I pretty much just took what the elders had given several years ago and tried to give that outline. So if you're teaching, that will need to be what you need to cover. And there's a lot of material here for all ages. The young children, like I said, their list of memorization, their maps that can be studied, a lot of stories that children that they'll find in. They just eat this stuff up. Older children, there are a lot of things you can talk about. Adults, there are a lot of things you can talk about. As I said, there are principles that are set forth that determine a lot of what we do today. There's the work of the church that sets forth principles for us by command, example, and necessary inference. There's a lot of application that we can make to our lives today. So it's going to be an interesting study. And like I said, I'll do my small way what I can to anything else. Like Jesus said, and was preached to every creature under heaven, as Colossians said. Anything else before we end? Appreciate your attention this morning. We'll stop there.